class this morning. Let's take our hymn books and stand as we turn to hymn number 224. We have Come Into His House, hymn number 224.
You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here. It's good to see the Prescotts back with us. Charles and Charlene, good to have y'all back. And it's good to have Mike still down with us from New Jersey. God bless you. Good to have y'all back. Good to have the Eddings back in Sunday school again. Been here several weeks. But so our newest members right in Sunday school. Amen. That's great. And the Longs back again. And sometimes people join the church and then poof, they're gone. I don't know why that is. They'll attend church, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then they'll join, and then just can't, FBI can't find them. But not the case here. It's not the case here. It's so good to have you all here. And is there anyone visiting with us? We'd love to welcome you. Anyone visiting with us in the Sunday school hour? Anyone? We have one right back here. Walter has a card there. If you will, fill that out for us, and we'll introduce you at the close of the lesson. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you so much for coming and being with us. And got some business to take care of. I don't know if Royce Eaton is in here. Josette, I don't see her. But today's his birthday. If you happen to see him, you might want to wish him a happy birthday. And George and Sandra Crow. Is this right? Tomorrow? Tomorrow is George and Sandra Crow's anniversary. I saw Sandra just a moment ago. Okay. And John and Laura Ellis, they sit right down here, and I don't see them, but theirs is tomorrow as well. I'm not batting good here. But Jim and Nina Lyle, yours is, I think, what, Wednesday? Wednesday. Well, congratulations. And how many years? 59 years. You put up with him a long time. She needs to be taking the bow, Brother Jim. Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great. Wonderful. Any other birthdays or anniversaries this week? I don't want to miss you. Don't want to miss you. We may not have that information, and I'm sorry. I apologize about it. Everybody is important. Just want to give that little recognition. All right. Now, I think everyone has graduated as far as they're going to graduate in Sunday school once you get here. Once you get here, this is about as far as you go, you know. But I know that next Sunday, I believe, is Promotion Sunday. So if you have children in Sunday school, grandchildren in Sunday school, they always look forward to Promotion Day and go to the bigger classes. So you might want to bear that in mind. And, of course, Father's Day, just a couple of weeks away. And so I do trust that you'll plan on being here for that. Ushers, come on down, please. We'll receive the Lord's offering this morning for Sunday school. And we're so thankful for your ministry, reaching out to folks in the hospital, flowers and food to the homes and that kind of thing. Please pray for Wilbur Borland. Wilbur is in the hospital, and they're doing heart tests on Brother Wilbur. And so normally we're praying for Naomi in that regard, and God's done some wonderful things in her life and body, and she's able to be here, and and things, but Wilbur is down right now, so pray for him if you will. And many other requests, I'm sure that we will go over some of those in the service to follow. Pray for the young people as they're preparing to leave next Sunday. Next Sunday, they're going to be on tour. They're leaving on Saturday, and this coming Saturday. So pray for them, for Journeying Mercies, cool air on the bus. The bus cools down really nicely, and when you're traveling in the dead of summer, that's an essential. It really is, especially when your windows don't roll down in the bus. You know, you're in a sealed tin can. So it's just not healthy for it to be 102 degrees in there, like a sauna. So we're glad that the air conditioner has been fixed and pray that everything mechanically works with the bus, and God gives them great meetings leaving on Saturday. So pray much about that. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Brother John Malott, would you stand please and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please? Amen. God bless you as you give. Brother David.
Take your hymn books once again. Turn to hymn number 225. Come, Christians, join to sing. Hymn number 225.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia. Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King.
Thank you, guys. Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry we ran out of curriculum books, Striving Together books, and so if you just want to take some notes, perhaps you can kind of catch up. We're hopefully having more books next week, and so if you don't have yours with you, just kind of jot some things down, and I believe that it'll be a help to you as we're studying Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 through 47. Now, while you're finding that and getting all set up, let me share something with you that could be a help to you. I know it was a help to me. Sometimes whole denominations, sometimes groups, and sometimes different divisions of Christianity spin off of a single statement or a single Bible verse, ignoring and disregarding the rest of Scripture, and just taking that and building a whole system of beliefs on it, such as the case with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is not in our text, but I believe that we're in this neighborhood, so I wanted to just give you some help here. Look at verse 38 before we dig in, and you may have had someone ask you about this verse. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here's what some would say on this verse, that once you repent and are saved and are baptized, this Bible verse is saying that then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I implore you, I encourage you to understand that the rest of Scripture does not teach that. And this verse does not teach that. Let me give you an example. They use the word, the little preposition for, as the proof word here. If you look it up in a regular dictionary, you will find that these kinds of words have many meanings, many kinds of definitions. Let me give you an example. Examples are helpful in the Webster's Dictionary to see how words are used. Let's say that you were driving and blue lights came in behind you, pulled you over, and they handed you a ticket for speeding. Okay? Now, does that ticket tell you then that now you can speed? Because you have a ticket for speeding. Okay? And so the next time the police officer pulls you over, you can hold up your ticket and say, I can speed. I have a ticket for speeding. He said, well, I'm going to give you one more. I might take you to jail. I don't know. If you didn't listen the first time. No, he gave you a ticket because of speeding, right? Not in order to speed, but he gave you a ticket because you were speeding. Now, that is one of the definitions, clearly, not a theological dictionary, just a regular Webster's Dictionary. And if you look at that verse again, then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for... What if we use the words, because of the remission of sins? We're not doing the text any injustice. We're giving the clarity that the rest of Scripture upholds. The rest of Scripture agrees with that. The rest of Scripture does not agree that if someone is baptized, that is the pivotal element. So anyway, that's just for free. And you might run across someone that would challenge you on that, and I hope that'd be a help to you. Verses 41 through 47, we spent some time last week on striving together in unity, and we saw the spiritual growth that took place. The spiritual growth, the believers started strong and the believers were steadfast. And we spent some time on that last week. They're growing in the Lord, and if someone is not spiritually strong, then they're going to be seeking their own selfish desires, what I want. And number one is going to be the most important person. That leads to disunity. That leads to disharmony. And in the orchestra over here and the choir, but I'll start with the orchestra. You'll notice that if you get here early, one of the things that they do is the piano plays a note. And then all the instruments try to match to that note. It's called tuning. And they have to tune with the one general instrument. May I say that if we're going to have unity, our individual hearts need to be in tune with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tune to Him. And then we have a director that stands there and he directs. And so that everyone is in time and we're all doing the same thing, playing the same thing at the same time. The timing, tuning, and timing is important. Both of those things are important to have unity. And then to know how to play and what notes to play so that it's not just a simple melody, but a beautiful harmonies and blending it all together. That's training. That's why we're here at church. Not just a fellowship, not to show off a new car. We're here to rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for us and to train to be more like Him. And when a church does those things, tunes, and in time with the Lord, doing what God wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, and then to train. So they started strong. The believers were steadfast. and all these things. Then Roman numeral 2, as we just began this last week, we look at sacrificial giving that took place. Sacrificial giving. And striving together in unity, they all gave. Let's look at verse 44, please. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. They felt like they were one body. And when something happens to a part of our body, the rest of the body reacts. I mean, that's just normal. It's amazing how when you're hitting a nail and you strike the wrong nail, it's amazing how the rest of the body gets into action, isn't it? I mean, the feet start jumping. The nail goes in the mouth, you know, all that kind of stuff. The whole body starts reacting. That's what happened. When the church was in time with God, in tune with Him, and trained to be like Jesus Christ, when they saw someone in need and they didn't have the cash, they went out and they sold something, they got the cash, and they brought it and they helped meet the need. Now, folks, Americans are a little bit slanted towards materialism, and that comes into and makes its way into the church to where, you know, we get all we can. You know, we can all we get, and we sit on the can. Yeah. Try to keep it all. Got news for you, we cannot keep it all. The government makes sure of that to a large degree. And then the medical field steps in and wants to help us. And then insurance and taxes and all the things that comes into play. And then death. We certainly don't hang on to it then. So they realize that. And they saw that their time here was very short. And so, letter A, their perspective was a spiritual perspective. A spiritual perspective. It was living with eternity in view. Living with Jesus there directing. How many of us pull up to a stoplight and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're thinking, okay, I'm in a hurry, but why don't you go? Why don't you go? Because the stoplight is still red. You have to wait for it to turn green. Listen, please. Why don't we as Christians respond to the Holy Spirit's direction in the same way, in the same faithfulness, waiting on the Lord? Their perspective was spiritual. Acts 4, verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Verse 32. They had all things common. Their perspective was spiritual. For the sake of time, let's hasten on. Letter B, their possessions were sold. Their possessions were sold. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know, VCBC has even done something to provide for this. Someone may say, you know, I would love to give to missions, but honestly, I just can't right now. You know where most of the wealth of our Christian American church members, most of our wealth is? It's in our stuff. It's not in our cash. It's not in our bank accounts. It's in our stuff. It's in our cars and our boats and our toys and all the stuff that we accumulate over years. And then we get a hold of that stuff and we think, man, this will make me happy. Well, we use it once or twice and then we find out there's maintenance to do with it. And it doesn't work the way we should, and it doesn't make us as happy as we thought we would be. And then a whole season rolls around, and pretty soon we don't use that thing anymore. And we're glad when the grandkids come over, because at least they use it, you know. And it still sits there, and still sits there, and still sits there. And pastor gets up and says, you know, we have this great mission work going on in Africa, and this feeding station, or whatever it may be. And a person is sitting there thinking, wow, I wish I feel burdened about this. The Lord's laying this on my heart, and honestly, I just don't think that... but I wish I could do something with some of my stuff. Just out of curiosity, go sometime on the church website on the giving part, and you'll find that there are people who saw that as a need, and they have set up a ministry and outreach to churches across America. Brother Charles Prescott, I'm glad you're here. Brother Charles Prescott was the one who introduced us to this a couple of years ago, and something that he introduced at Crown College, to Temple Baptist Church. And people are taking cars, and they contact them and give them all the information, or a jet ski, or a computer, or whatever the case may be. And they come and they pick it up, or they send a box to ship it, and all that kind of thing. And then they notify the person, okay, this is how much it was sold for. And they send them a tax receipt, and they take a percentage for the handling fee to pay their needs, and then the rest goes back to the church. Sounds like a pretty good deal, make it pretty easy. They didn't have all that back then. They just said, here, I've got some property. I've got some things that I inherited. I don't have to have this to live. And they sold it so that they could help make somebody else's need fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he was rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Again, we're not talking about becoming millionaires. Not talking about having gold. After all, in heaven, gold is asphalt. In heaven, they make the streets out of the stuff. We're talking about having richness towards God and having God's blessing and God's fullness of joy in our heart and our life. That never diminishes. It never disappoints. For the sake of time, let's look at letter C. Their profits were shared. Sacrificial giving we're talking about here. Their profits were shared. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Look at that last line. "And of thine own have we given thee." Here in the Old Testament, they had a great concept. What I have is not mine. It's like the song says, the things that I love and hold dear, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. They're just things that God gives to us for a time. And so this is what the church, early church, I mean, they didn't attend some giving seminar, you know. The Holy Spirit led them to do this. So I encourage you, please, make sure that all of us are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His direction. He always leads correctly. And please understand, there's greater joy in giving than in receiving. Don't you feel a little bit awkward when someone gives you something? I mean, you're glad of it, right? Especially if you need it, you're glad of it, you're thankful. But don't you find it difficult to, you say, "Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that." You're humbled and all that kind of thing. But sometimes you're stumbling at what to say and all that kind of stuff. Do you realize that the person on the other end who is giving has no awkwardness at all? It is joyful on their part. It is wonderful. And when they give, God just pours His blessing. Yes, you did the right thing. Make sure that when we give, that it's sacrificial giving, that it's depending on the Spirit of God directing and guiding. And that helps to bring unity. It did in this church. It did in church in Jerusalem, the very first church. The very first church. And so it doesn't take... These folks were only saved a few weeks. Only saved a few Sundays. That's it. That's all. And they were mindful of the Lord. And then we see sincere gladness, Roman numeral 3, that in this early church there was sincere gladness, great joy, unity, no bickering going on, everyone loving one another. When you walk in, by the way, when you walk in the doors of a church, that has the Holy Spirit's blessing and guidance and direction, where Jesus Christ is preached and the Word of God is magnified, and all of these things that take place. The songs are exalting of the Lord. There, if you're a Christian, you should sense a warmth. You should sense a place of home. I've been in churches where that was missing. Now, they had a beautiful facility. They maybe even had exciting ministries. But something was missing. And I believe that emanates from the people that are in the church. I believe it is seen on their countenances. I believe it is heard in the tone of voice. There's no cynicism as people talk. You know, there's sincerity. And that's what they had. Sincere gladness. Look at verses 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Sincere gladness. Do you see that? See this first here, letter A, that they gathered frequently, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They continued daily. They gathered frequently. How many times do I have to come to church? Wrong question. How many times can I come to church? Right question. Okay? That was their intent. Okay, if I join Volusia County Baptist Church, does that mean I have to come on Thursday nights? Now, if I want to do everything I'm supposed to do now, you know, do I have to come on Sunday nights too? If I join the church? Listen, please. God understands if you're providentially hindered. God knows that. But God provides a church for your benefit. Not for a burden, but for your benefit. And so if, you know, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Don't say, you know, I'm just not spiritually where I should be, so I'm going to stay home again, you know, on Sunday night. I'm just going to stay home because I'm just not getting anything, you know. That's the wrong thing to do, folks. It really is. They gathered frequently. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. You know, so-and-so, they don't even have church on Sunday nights. You know, I know a lot of churches around here, they don't have church. Pastor Reynolds, you know, maybe we should, you know, follow suit, and maybe we should not, you know, gather together on Sunday night. No. There's, in that day, there were folks saying, we don't need to meet as often. In that day, when Hebrews was written, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I was talking with my father-in-law, Hope's dad. My father-in-law has grown in the Lord in the past few years in a miraculous way. He made the statement to me. He said, you know, I don't think it's going to be long till Jesus comes back. Everything is in place. Everything is fitting in place. You know, the chips are going in people's hands in Europe. You know, all that kind of stuff. Everything's getting in place. Now, don't be worried. Jesus Christ is coming back, and God the Father is in control. Amen. Satan does not rule this world. No. He's a renter. He's not the owner. But you see, the church has to be taken out. The church is the restrainer. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. Inside the believers, inside the body of Christ, the church. And we hold back in the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We're what holds back Satan. But when we're taken out of the way, he will have full reign. Not R-E-I-G-N, but he'll have R-E-I-N. He'll have the reins, so to speak. And it'll be a terribly wicked time, terribly destructive time. so much the more, as you see the day approaching, so much the more. Seems like sometimes that as we see the day of our demise approaching, then we want to go to church more. As we see our moments drawing to a close, as we see our need, Lord, I pray for my daughter, I pray for my son, it seems like we start going to church more. As we see something approaching, but folks, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is coming back. You know, there are some excuses that people use for not going to church. This is just some extra stuff. I don't know if this would be a help to you. And this is from a Christian periodical survey that was given. You ever hear these? Number seven said, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I'm too busy. Now, chances are, some people are too busy. And if they are too busy, then let me tell you something. They're too busy. If it means they can't go to church. They're too busy. I worked at Red Food Store in high school and through some of my college experience. And I worked there a little while. I was just glad to get a job. Then they began scheduling me on Sundays. And I worked on Sundays, and sometimes I worked on Saturday nights, third shift. And I would walk in as a zombie on Sunday morning and all that kind of thing. And when I did go to church, and it just, I went to my manager. And I told him, I said, Roger, I said, I really enjoy working here, and I want to give you, you know, everything that I have every single day that I'm here. And any time that you schedule me, I appreciate the money, and I appreciate the opportunity to work, but I have a request. I said, I need to be in church on Sundays. I'll work any other day that you want me to work, and I'll work hard, but I need to be in church on Sunday. And I realize that that's a lot to ask. And if it means that you have to let me go because you can't do that, I understand. But that's where I'm at, Roger. And he said, okay. I was fully anticipating, you know, him to lash out at me and say, you know, a whole dissertation of why that he can't be partial and yada, 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 all that kind of stuff, you know, but he didn't. He said, okay. And that's all that had to be said. And they knew that Mark Sears just never works on Sundays. I needed to be in church. I needed, as a teenager, I needed to hear the Word of God preached. I need exactly as... Hey, listen, folks, sometimes you have to miss church, but it should not be the norm of your life. I'm too busy, some say. Number six, some say there are too many hypocrites at church. There are too many hypocrites at church. Is that true or false? It's true. It's true. If you go back and look in the Gospels, you'll find that there were hypocrites in Jesus' day. And did that stop him? No. In fact, if people quit going to church because hypocrites were in the church, nobody would be in the church. So why not, in love, reach out to those that are opposing themselves? Reach out in love to those that are stumbling through this dark world, that are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ's direction in their life, either because they're not saved or because they're carnal, backslidden Christians. Why not be a light? Why not be a help to those? Jesus dealt with the hypocrites. Said, oh, ye generation of vipers, Pharisees and Sadducees and... Straighten out a gnat and swallow a camel. And boy, he dealt with them. He dealt with them. But he didn't quit because of them. He didn't. Number five, some say, I don't know anybody at church. I don't know anybody there. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, a lot of folks have this thing that they are kind of backward, you know, and introverts. Please hear me. God said to the extrovert, and he said to the introvert, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Your personality, when you become a Christian, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you're filled with the personality of Jesus Christ, and his personality was reaching out to those in need. Brother Walter Scancy, He goes around shaking people's hands and greeting folks and things. And he told me, he said, honestly, he said, that's not my nature. My nature is not to be outgoing. I'm a little bit uncomfortable starting out doing that. But I know that I should be friendly and welcoming. And Brother Jim Lyle, he never meets a stranger. I mean, he just, you know, he just, if you don't know Brother Jim, you will. But there are others of us that are kind of quiet and backward and, you know, in nature. That is no excuse for us not to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no excuse. God made us how he made us for a reason, and that reason was not to disobey Scripture. I don't know anyone. That doesn't stand up. Number four, some said this exactly. I'll miss football. I'll miss football, or I'll miss my shows, or I'll miss the opportunity to go fishing, or I'll miss this, or I'll miss that. Wanting what they want to do. You know, in Judges, I believe it's 21:25. The Bible says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Spoiler alert, that didn't work out so good for them. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Jesus said. Number three, I don't feel like going. I just don't feel like going. How many of you do things that you don't feel like doing? Of course you do. I just raised my hand. I don't feel like raising my hand, but he told me to raise my hand. I'm being honest, you know. I don't feel like going. I won't stand up. Feelings change, folks. I encourage you to do this. Imagine with me a locomotive, would you please? Imagine a locomotive train. And the engine of the train. Imagine the word fact, F-A-C-T, fact, on the side of that locomotive engine. And then behind a locomotive engine, you usually have the fuel car, the coal car. And imagine on that, on the side of that car, the word faith. And then there's always a caboose at some point. So imagine on that one the word feeling. Fact, faith, feeling. Now, a train is going to get in trouble if it tries to put the caboose in the front. Always keep the engine in the front. You know what the engine is? The facts of God's word, what God has said. Keep that in the front and do what God says, the facts. And then we put our faith in the facts. And when you do that, guess what follows? Feelings. Many of you, when you were getting ready this morning, you actually had the thought, do I really need to go to church this morning? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But a lot of you had that thought, maybe a statement, I wish I didn't have to go to church this morning. You know, don't. We're all there, you know. Why? Because our body is against doing what God wants us to do. But I'll tell you something, once you get here, and once you're through Sunday school, you know, Sunday school is kind of a dragging through, you know. And then you're shaking hands with folks and somebody says hey to you and compliments you and tells you it's good to see you this morning and that kind of thing. The orchestra strikes up and the choir starts to sing. Somebody sings a special. Pastor preaches. You see God move in hearts. And you say, boy, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't feel like going. No. Number two, I didn't put this in there, but this is what's being said. I can watch it online. The online church. Why am I not going to go to church tonight? I can watch it online. Hey, please, I dare you. Shake hands with your computer monitor. I dare you. I know there are some folks that the doctor tells you that because of the medications you're on, please do not be in crowds. I understand and balance that. God understands. God knows those things. But please remember something. Pastor has seen this happen on many occasions. I've seen it happen. I've seen folks in the dead of winter. Repent, be truly, genuinely saved. And they said, I want to get baptized. They said, well, we'll do that as soon as it warms up. I want to be baptized today. I've taken people out to the river when it's snowing. Took this great big old guy, a boat ramp, and I had my waders. There's pictures of it snowing outside. And I baptized him, and I remembered the 1-to-8 ratio, you know, of water displacement. You know, he's a big guy. Guys carry their weight up, you know, their chest and shoulders and all that kind of thing. So when you baptize them, they go down easy. They come up real hard. And I said, bury with him in baptism. And I leaned down, and guess what happened? Those waders went down below the water level. And I went, raised to walk in newness of life. I believe that pastor would tell you the very same thing. Doesn't matter how cold it is outside. Doesn't matter how long it's been since, you know, from them, you know, throwing a towel over them and things, and the people just singing, shall we gather at the, you know, all that kind of stuff going on. They're out there. I have yet to know of anyone that getting sick, somehow, miraculously, you know, getting sick from getting baptized. Something about obeying God. I can watch it online. If you're sick and you can't be at church, praise God, you can still stay with us. And you can flip it on the TV there, or your computer, or your little iPad or phone or something like that. And you can hear and you can see. Thank God for that technology that you can still be a part of everything. But please, please don't shortchange yourself. Be here when you can. Every time the doors are open, God will bless you for it. And here's the number one, I don't like the preaching. This is what this Christian periodical said. You know what? We as an American culture of Christians, we're looking for the preacher to entertain us. We're looking for the preacher to present us something that we like and we enjoy, and therefore we say it was worthy of my time to be at church today because I enjoyed what he said. Listen, folks. If the Word of God is being preached and is not preaching heresy, but it's preaching truth, and if the preaching is dry as toast, and that does not happen here, but if the preaching is dry as toast and if it's true, there's something for each and every one of us, and we better heed and we better pay attention and we better listen whether or not we like it. I don't like the preaching is not a good excuse. I praise God that we have a fabulous preacher. I praise God that he preaches the truth. He doesn't tickle people's ear and tell us just what we want to hear. He tells us what God wants us to hear. So don't take excuses. They gathered frequently. And then last, and we're going to have to close, they glorified the Father. They glorified the Father. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. They glorified God. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God. Now, I'm thankful for the ministries of VCBC. I'm thankful for the nursery. I'm thankful for the Sunday school. I'm thankful for junior church and master club and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Children's Music Academy and all the things that go on as an arm reach. But listen, folks, we don't praise the things that make us feel good. We're to praise God for giving us those things and then to be faithful in it. So we didn't finish the lesson, but I hope that this thought of unity will finish next time. And I did not receive our visitor's card. Does anyone receive that? Okay. Would you introduce yourself, sir? I'm sorry.
Javier.
Javier, so good to have you with us. Where's home for you?
Thank you.
Where's home for you?
Atlanta.
Wonderful. Nephew, well, it's so good to have you here, Javier. God bless you for being in Sunday school, and we're thankful to have you here. God bless you. Well, all right, folks, service will start in 15 minutes. Thank you for being here this morning, and God bless you.